This is an extremely exciting morning. Have we got Ashley? Oh, I see that hand. Yeah, let's go. You can take that. If I can have some of the elders, the elders' families, the board families, if you can come on up here as well and just sort of be in behind our beautiful installation team, that would be fantastic. And ceremony is very, very important to Jesus. You know, sometimes for generations, ceremony was too important, I think, amongst us. But I think over these last few years, ceremony has become unimportant. And the reality is, it's important. Yeah, you guys just sort of crown this way. And I need Sam and Jordan and Ashley right here. Sam, Jordan, and Ashley right here. And ta-da! No, you come and look at me. Pretend that you really are enthralled with what I'm saying. So, exactly. So, you come this way. Turn around. There we go. And you look at me like you're taken by these words. Okay? You're taken by them. Now, let me just say that ceremony is very, very important in the sense that it manifests, it declares something that's very, very important. And we believe this day is very important. A day of installation where you have been recognized for your calling, you've been recognized for your service. And we say, yes, Jesus. We say, yes. This is a very special day, church. This is the day we've been waiting for a long time. And the beautiful thing is there's more installation services to come. Oh, somebody say amen. In fact, oh, grant it that we have installation services all the time as people are being called into their life destiny, as people are being called into their life ministry. And there's people all over this room that Jesus, over these last few weeks, months, and going forward, will be launched into their life calling. And Terry Bona is going to be speaking about that in August. It's going to be a great month. Oh, my. In ceremony, in the Old Testament, you have to understand the context of Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the olden days, I mean thousands of years ago, what they did physically represented, they did something physical, and now for us, we do it spiritually. Now let me explain that. When Aaron was anointed, when they anointed in the Old Testament, ministers, priests unto the Lord, they actually poured oil over their heads. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? Hallelujah. And today, actually, we're going to do it like the Old Testament. We've got 7 gallons of oil, and we're going to pour it on their heads. Hallelujah. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Or 10W, actually, I was thinking 5W40. Anyway, but what that did is the Old Testament, the Bible says that in the Old Testament, oil represented Holy Spirit. So what we're doing is we're mantling them. We're pouring Holy Spirit's calling on their life this morning. And aren't you glad that we're not? Because oil's messy. It gets all over the floor. But what we're doing is we're going to pray for them. We're praying the oil of Holy Spirit on you guys today. Now, I just have one thing to say, and that is this. Know today the privilege and the honor and the responsibility of this calling. Okay? Know it today. Let Holy Spirit speak to you today about the honor, the privilege and the responsibility. And it's the responsibility and the honor and the privilege, listen to this, as you empower, and you were talking about that last week, as we now are empowering this next generation into their calling, into their service. Sam and Jordan are going to be taking over junior high, and they launch this week. with strategies and plans, and we're going to pray together. And Ashley's taking over senior high. And we're believing that God is going to do matchless, wondrous things amongst us, amongst our young people. Somebody say amen. Yeah, come on. So, come on over here. We want to pray for you. And if anyone else, stand with me, please, church. And if anyone else, come on up. Come this way. Come this way. Okay. Now, I want you just to crown them this way. And we're going to be sensitive. Shata ha po shi ha. Thank you, Jesus. You got something to say there?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Anytime God calls you, I mean, he calls you, but he also gives you the opportunity to say yes or no. And you're saying yes today. You're saying yes to his calling. You're saying yes and being obedient and trusting that God is going to lead you and guide you. And with that, we as leaders want to bless you in your calling, in what God has for your future, and everything that encompasses that. Your relationships, your you know, not just ministry relationships, but also outside of ministry relationships. And that God will give you incredible authority in your circle in this town. I believe that when you say yes to a calling, he gives you the authority to walk in where others can't. You have authority to speak into lives where others can't. And that is God's authority because you said yes. There's a responsibility to that. Mm-hmm. And that is obeying and trusting that he's called you to where you need to go. And I just want to speak over you God's authority, God's favor, and that doors will be opened. That doors will be opened. And that we, just like we sang that song about calling dead bones, we call the young people. We call the young people that are struggling, that are lonely, that have no place, that they will find a place here. That they will feel welcomed, they will feel loved and accepted, and that God will move in their lives. Amen.
Yeah. Let's pray together, church. Point your hands, yeah, just as an act of faith. And let's all agree together. Jesus, thank you for this. Lord, that rung true. That snapped heaven when I heard the yes. They said yes. And that's all you need, Lord, is a yes. And then you take care of everything else. You bring the anointing. You bring the power. You bring the grace. You bring the liberty. So, Father, thank you for their yes. Father, mobilize and empower their yes. Father, days where it gets tough and they go, what did I do? What in the world did I do? And those hours, Lord, in those moments, you remind them, it's a yes, and Jesus will take care of the rest. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what we're going to see as we emerge, as we emerge, as we emerge. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what great things Jesus has in store for us. And everybody said, amen. 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 Just before, I need Victoria, would you come on over here? And I need you guys to stay with us, please. Just kind of, can you just back up a little bit? And this is another day, a sad day, but a triumphant day. Come on over here. And anyway, you come on over here too, please. Hey.
Oh, I just wanted to acknowledge Andrew and Kaylin, who are in the back. They're our unsung heroes, and they are committed to run sound and do all of that.
We're going to have installation services.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. And Sam back there, and oh my. Yeah. Amen. For a season, Victoria is going to be going back to Germany. And if you can just take a moment and just, can you just kind of communicate just your, that the logistics, just the logistics.
The logistics, okay. I'm going back to Germany.
Say hi, I'm Victoria.
Yeah, hi, I'm Victoria, for those of you that don't know me. I'm originally from Germany. I have lived here for 12 years, and I'm going back in like less than 2 weeks, which is kind of scary. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. God has blessed me with a workplace, which is super good. I get the privilege of working at a Christian hospital while I finish my education, which is cool because then I actually get to talk about Jesus at work, which I didn't get to do here. And then I have to go to school at the same time, so I'll be going to school for 2 weeks and then working for 2 weeks and then going to school for 2 weeks and working for 2 weeks to get an international nursing degree so I can come back. That being said, when I get to Germany, I have to pass a German test that I'm scared I'm going to fail. So, yeah, to actually be accepted into school for real. Like, I have, like, a conditional acceptance based on the fact that they think I can speak German, which I can't. So I'm praying that God just gives me a whole language overnight.
Yes,
that would be great.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, and so that's kind of what it's going to look like. I don't know much else about it. I'm just kind of getting there.
But God.
Yeah.
God's in control.
So.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Now lift a hand, raise a hand, point a hand. Jesus, you're in control. And Lord, I see Philippians 4:13 there. Lord, you're in control. And you're going to make her path straight. And Lord, if we have to or not, it's a reality. She's going. And you're going to make the path straight. Because she's going to learn a trust that she's never known before. She's going to know a yieldedness and a trust to you like she's never known before. So Lord, for that, their beautiful family. For Stefan and for Ruth, Lord. We're asking that you make a way. Make a way. Yeah, give them peace that surrounds and surpasses human comprehension. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everyone agreed? Amen. Amen. This has been a good day already. And it's only just begun. God bless you. Have a seat. We're just going to take a few minutes here because we're running over time, but that's okay. It's a 27-week series, so I can just sort of end wherever I end. And wherever I end is where I end. Did you figure all that one out? Ah, there's my sheet. Okay, I have one more announcement. And that is, it's not really an announcement, it's almost part of the preach, but yeah, there we are. Thank you. I need to end my clicker, please. End my clicker. Clicker. Is everybody good? How is everyone feeling? Good? Oh, good, good. Got to break that spirit of silence off this place. I know I need to learn a little silence. I get it. You're thinking it and you're not saying it, so that's good. Okay, a little bit of information, and that is Tammy and I have been doing our TNTs, which is Dynamite, right, Tam? We've been doing that every Thursday or Friday, and we're going to continue to do that probably for the rest of our natural lives, but I need you to cooperate, and I need you to spread the word. We hopefully, Jesus, let it be so. Grant it, Lord. We hopefully will be back online. We'll be back televising or filming or whatever you want to call it. Back to doing that next week, our services. So that's going to be kind of cool, where now you're going to be the audience in the midst of, you're going to be the crowd in the midst of what God is doing. But it's huge. So who's going to be watching? Who's going to be watching is those that can't be here, but yeah, exactly. You're going to be watching. But then it's also going to be for the curious that won't come to church yet. You know, I used to talk about Jesus and witness to people at the gym all the time. And invariably, I heard this more than anything else. You know, I said, "Oh, you got to come to church." "Oh no, I'm not going to step inside a church. Place would burn down if I stepped in that church." And I said, "Oh well, we got lots of fire extinguishers. It's all good. Come on anyway." But the reality is that just as there's that apprehension. But you know what? You start watching, you get your appetite. You whet your appetite because, wow, they're having a good time. They're having a good time. And then one of these days, they might just even show up. Who knew? Amen? So it's every Friday. At least we're having our TNT. It's a Tammy and Todd talk. And it's every Friday at 1 o'clock. So it's posted. And it's we want to be consistent where it's always at 1 o'clock on Friday. And it's on YouTube, on our own YouTube channel, which is Emerge Church AB. Is that correct? Okay. And also on Facebook, on our Facebook page or Facebook place. And posted simultaneously, both at 1-ish, 1 o'clock. And then the beautiful thing about YouTube is that they're archived. So all the previous episodes, all the previous films are there. So over the next weeks, months, as people start to get a hold of this, as they start to catch this, then they can, the curious, can start looking at previous archived videos. So it's very cool. So anyway, spread the word. I know I say it every week in the e-bulletin, but spread the word that Fridays, 1 o'clock, we have a time. It's fun, it's instructional, it's edificational, and you'll be blessed. So enjoy. Free plug, a shameless free plug. Amen. Starting a series called What Are You Afraid Of? And each week we'll have a different inflection, we'll have a different construct, so I'd almost have to say it differently. But for today, we're saying it this way. What are you afraid of? That's today. This morning, I just want to lay the foundation of the different angles of fear, per se. That I will be talking about fear, but in a different way throughout this entire course. And you'll be blessed because it's going to be incredibly encouraging, and it's also going to give you hope. And I hope it'll challenge some of our preconceived notions that might even be wrong. Preconceived notions that might even be wrong. And so be challenged. Challenge me. I learned something this week. Never knew this before. Now, of course, you smart sort of TED Talk people. I watch TED Talk all the time. I'm highly intelligent. They probably talk about this all the time, but I just learned today. There is actually a fear-greed index tracking the economy. In simplest terms, it's like a virtual construct where it looks at what motivates people's spending. Now, at the end of the day, hear me today, at the end of the day, marketers, because this is really something that is gauged by marketers, but if you have ever watched Shark Tank, or what's the Canadian version? Dragon's Den, what you'll realize is that there's very little about a moral or an integral situation. It's really about what can I look at you do that's going to make you create something where people will want to spend money so I can be very, very rich. So the reality is that one might be into the greed. It might kind of edge into the greed realm. Now, fear-greed index. And this is my thought this week. I mean, we all know that that's the stuff that people wrestle with. But then it's like this. You mean someone already came up with that theory? Like, we all knew it was out there. We all knew it was a reality, but it's almost like that elephant. But we didn't actually realize that it was something systematized and monitored. Now, here's our reality for this morning. Gosh, I wish today was on film, because this is such an important... I actually might preach this in front of the camera to get this start going for the series on the film, on YouTube. But it's more than just what motivates our spending habits. Listen to me this morning. It's really about the essence of what directs people's behaviors and how they live their life. You mean, and here's a reality check. You mean that most things that we do are really based on either greed or fear? Now, I'm hoping I'm talking about the secular world. Grant that. Fear or greed? What makes you think? What do you wake up to every morning? Some people, that's all that they live. A marketer, that's all that they would think about is, okay, what can I do to either push the greed button or the fear button so I can make more money? Money. Now, it's a well-known fact that the first half of the 20th century, so that's the previous century, the 1900s, historians would all, I think, probably simultaneously agree that the driving force lifting the economy out of depression was what? The war machine. To drive the war machine, we have to build tanks and we have to build bombers and we have to build this, and it takes money. And the economy actually flew because we were building the war machine in the 20s and then into the 40s. Now, we don't have the excess money like we used to. Now we're into debt. Into a debt ratio, so we can't do that necessarily. But here we go. According to Wall Street Journal, and this is recent news, and this is in reference to what we're talking about right now. This is that COVID thing. Our new normal, according to the Wall Street Journal, it is extreme fear that is driving the economy right now. Now, I just think of that word, and this is not my word, that's a quote. Extreme fear driving the economy. So it's when I think of that, I just think of almost like alerts or sirens. Extreme fear, hurry, buy something. You know those signs when you're camping? And, you know, campers, you know, most of them are away today. But you know those campers, and they have that, you know, mild, medium, high, extreme dangerous, because if it's dry, then you can't have a campfire. And you'll see those things on the roadside, and, you know, the arrow right now I would think would be pretty low because we've had 17 weeks of rain. But the reality is oftentimes in the summer where there's a drought, and then you have that arrow going over to extremely dangerous, don't have fires, don't have campfires. And I think that's exactly like the arrow being just peeked over the one side, that we're all living in fear. Or at least that's the thing that's driving the world right now. I know you're going to find this, you're going to be shocked by this information. So just brace yourself right now. Just sort of grab your chair even. People have being known to actually exploit fear for their own gain. Yes, you can laugh. It's a joke. You're like, should I laugh? Should I say that's true? Or it is true, but it is a joke. It's a sad joke to think that people have actually are out there exploiting this thing for their own gain. Now, I'm a little facetious. Yes, but undoubtedly you have to understand that fear is used in the elephant. And this is not a conspiracy theory thing. It is just a reality that there is an element of control. So I just say, be warned. Be mindful. Let's move forward. Fear is at the forefront of the world. Still is. Whew. Dr. Michael Horton, who is a Christian sociologist, says, everybody seems to be anxious, checking the 24-hour news cycles for the next jolt into their insecurity. Besides their health, even besides their health, many are afraid of losing their jobs. That still lingers. And think of the countries where there isn't a social net, where if you're out of a job, we can just, government will throw money at you. Think of a country that there is no social net. You don't work, you don't eat. Think of that. But we are concerned. The world is panicky. When will this money run out? This throwing money at people because I'm out of work, or these sort of social net programs to help people along. And thank God it's there. But the reality is that all this too shall pass. Many are gripped, he goes on to say, by the fear of economic collapse, while others are anxious about environmental collapse. Isn't that good news? It's our reality. So, I think I'll probably just get to point one today. And everybody said, that's enough. Okay, so, very simple. People live in fear. The Bible says it very well. It's almost like God knows the human heart. Who knew? It's almost like God knows these things. And this scripture has caught me all week. So I've had to share it today. I'm taking you hostage because I've wanted to share this verse. I believe the Spirit of God has actually been caught me by it. Now, in context, Luke 21 and Luke 24, Luke 21 and Matthew 24. So it's the same speech from Jesus, but it's two different people writing the biography of Jesus, two different people writing it in different places. But this is the same speech from Jesus. Okay, you got that? Luke said this, Matthew said a very similar thing. And is this like 2020 right here? Is this like 2020 in Canada, in the world? Says people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I need some sound effects. Shaken. Shaken. Now, this is talking about the end of the age. And church, we don't know. This could be the end of the age. This could be the end of the world. We don't know. Okay? But the Bible just simply says terror will consume people's hearts. In fact, that's from the New Living. The NIV says they will faint. Most versions say they will literally faint with terror. The King James said their hearts will fail them for fear. Now, trust me, I got good news. We're going to get into the good news. But that is a reality that's out there. People, average Joe person, Joe and Mary Smith, this is what the reality is for their lives. Now, the Bible refers to fear over 500 times. Let me say that again. The Bible, the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament alike, refers to fear 500 times. Now, it's in a different way, in a different view, different fears, and we're going to be talking about those different fears in the weeks preceding or coming forward. But the Bible declares do not be afraid over 100 times. Why do you think Jesus, why do you think God told the followers of God, the Jews, the Christians, why do you think he said over 100 times, do not be afraid, fear not? Why do you think that? Because it's a reality. It's that default that we go to. And God wants to shake us out of that. I like what it says in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. 100 times, don't be afraid. Church, don't be afraid. Christians, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Point number two. Don't hate me after this point. Don't hate me. Panic and fear is, and can I boldly say, must be the reality for the world? Must be the reality for the world? What do you mean, must be? All of us, everyone in this room, everyone on earth wants a good life. Is that true? Everybody in this room, everybody in the world wants a good life with a good amount of money to be able to have a decent life, to have a beautiful family, and to have a beautiful life with your family. Yes, everybody wants that. But here's the problem. God knows that if you want that void of him, listen to me, void of him, then he will try to stop it. Christian or non-Christian alike. Oh, I got a camp here. This is important. There's an interesting scripture. See, fear and panic must be the reality for the world, because if it isn't, then we would go on and do our own thing without God. But God can't have that because he loves us enough. Everyone must trust something. And I know I trusted my brother. I know that when I was a non-Christian, when I was a pagan, when I was before I came to Christ, I remember my life. Oh, boy. And I looked to my brother in panic. I'd have panic attacks, and then I'd call my brother, or I was going to say text him. I didn't text him in 1980. No. But I would call my brother, and I would just have him talk me down off the bridge because I was panicky, and I was scared, and I was afraid. And he would say whatever he needed to say to sort of talk me down off the bridge. But we look to something. We look to a great leader. We're looking to that great vaccine, and that's going to solve everything. As soon as we have a vaccine, then it's going to solve everything, really, until the next crisis. We look to a robust economy. We look to, I love this one, time will see us through. Time will see us through. This thing will pass in a year or two, and then we'll be back to normal. No, there is no normal. See, this is the beautiful, I didn't like it at the time, listen to me, I didn't like it at the time, but you know what? Terror was the thing that brought me to Jesus. Night terrors, panic attacks, every night, going through college, secular college, going, getting my marketing degree. I'd call my brother, please help me, I'd be panicky and I'd be crying. And I'd look for a resolve. I'd look for an answer. Someone had already shared with me about Jesus, but I wasn't there yet. I wasn't ready to surrender. Now, I need, Jordan, I need you to get this out, tweet it or twonk it or loop it or snoop it or whatever. This is a good quote. You got to see this one. Are you ready? life worked, then no one would come to Jesus. Thank God. Thank God life doesn't work. Thank God life doesn't work. Isn't that great news? Hallelujah. You can come to church and the pastor will say, life doesn't work. But God. Now, there's an interesting scripture, and I'm going to close with this. Really believe the Lord directed me here. And it's a scripture that I don't know if you ever sort of looked at it and said, well, that's got to be out of context, or that's got to be that's got to be translated wrong. So we're going to look, and this is Old Covenant. This is the Bible. This is Genesis. And we're going to look at Genesis 11. So Genesis 11, first book of the Bible in the Old Testament. And yeah, worship team, come on back here. We're going to have we're just going to have Jesus here with us. And we're going to leave this room triumphant and gloriously alive. Somebody say amen. In fact, in this room, there's going to be some dry bones that are going to come alive. They're going to rattle. There's some dry bones that are going to rattle in this room. Ooh, ho, 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 ho. Okay, so don't start playing yet. I'll tell you when to play. Tower of Babel. The world is bad. Let me set the context. The whole world had one language, it says in Genesis 11. So if you have a Bible, or if you have your, on your phone, just kind of navigate with me. The Bible says that the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain and settled there, And watch this. This is what the people said. They said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar instead of for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we will make a name for ourselves. Does that sound like 2020? Does that sound like the world with, we will rise above it? Let's build another tower. The enemy tore down the twin towers. Didn't get us to repent. All it did is make us build a bigger one. Because man will solve the problems. Does that sound like then? Does it sound like now? Let's build a tower to our glory, to our fame, to our esteem, and we will be like God. Come on. Now, God loves us, and he's heartbroken by this sentiment of pride. God had to do something. So it says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and the people were building the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. You see the quote up there? If life worked for people, that no one would come to Christ. So God, in his majesty, knew that this attitude, this pride, this idol would keep people from the life that they could have. This would keep people from God. And now look at the next verse. Come, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is interesting because it says, come, let us. Then God said, come, let us. Verse 7. Come, let us. So that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, let's go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. And the Lord scattered people all over the world. So they couldn't build this building. I looked it up this week in Wikipedia. And interesting, it said, talked about the Tower of Babel. And then it said, the story The myth about the Tower of Babel, the myth, just a sweet religious story for people that don't know better. And I thought, oh my goodness. So let me just leave you with this. If life worked for people, then no one would come to Jesus. But it doesn't work, so they have to come to Jesus. It doesn't work, so people have to come to Jesus. The non-Christian has to come to Jesus, and the Christian has to always be drawn back to Jesus. Someone stand in the room. Someone stand in the room. Let's stand. Let's stand. Got to be drawn back to Jesus. And Jesus is always, always, always needing to get us back to him. Come back to me. Leave your pride. Leave your greed. Leave your fear. Oh, boy. Leave your pride. Leave your greed. Leave your fear. Come back to me and find life. This is my very, very cool quote this week. And hear this today, Jesus is much more interested in your salvation than he is your success.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
He's much more interested in your salvation because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants you. He loves you. He adores you. He's got a plan for you, and he wants you to find him and find life. Because if success keeps you from him, he would be heartbroken. What's the Bible say? You could have the whole world, but if you forfeit your soul, well, now you can start playing. You could have the whole world. But if you forfeit your soul, oh, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Non-Christian, come to Jesus, find life. Christian, come to Jesus, keep coming to Jesus, keep coming to Jesus. Ask for forgiveness for trying to do it alone. Ask for forgiveness for being in panic. Christian, don't be in panic, heaven's sakes. I'm going to talk about that next week. Don't shut me out. Listen to me. I'm going to talk about that next week. But church, the Spirit of God is speaking. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, bless these beautiful people. Draw us, Holy Spirit.